Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So far, God's word. So in the last couple sections that we have taken, we have learned that there are these works of the flesh, and what comes out of the flesh leads us to consume one another and be consumed by one another. And we've learned that there's this great battle between the flesh, that is the remaining sin from our original nature, from the first Adam, and the Holy Spirit, who has given us a new nature in Christ and joined us to Jesus by faith. And He dwells in us, and He fights against the flesh. So the desires of the sinful nature fight against the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fights against the desires of the sinful nature. And in the next two sections, this week's section, we have the works of the flesh, and then the section following that, we have the fruits of the Spirit. In the next two sections, we have a couple of lists that help us identify at any given time which side we are fighting for. This week's list, then, when it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and he gives a list, and I think it may be indicative of how spiritually weak and wicked are the times that we currently live in, that some of these aren't evident. But he describes them as being evident, and so we should think that if we are spiritually healthy and mentally healthy, the things that are listed here are things that we would obviously see as works of the flesh. The fact that he lists them, and he doesn't just say, now the works of the flesh are evident, and then move on from that, the fact that he gives the list does show us that God knows that there are going to be times of spiritual weakness in which, whether it's the church as a whole or an individual who is spiritually weak, that we're not recognizing that these things are coming from our original nature, our, the remaining sin. And so the list acts like a mirror, a checklist that we can use, like a soldier who has been sent behind enemy lines, and he's been given description of what the enemy looks like, so that if he comes across someone and he isn't quite sure, he can check his description and make sure that he's doing battle with the enemy and not helping or harboring, aiding and comforting the enemy. So here, what are the things that we don't want to aid or comfort? Adultery, fornication. That means to act like a husband or wife with someone who is not your husband or wife. But it is not just the external act, but notice also uncleanness. The uncleanness here is that aspect of adultery or fornication that is in your mind or heart, indulging unnecessary crushes, emotional thought adultery, or indulging in lust, longing looks, or imaginings about what it would like to be like to be with a specific person. And then lewdness, uncarefulness about how you dress or how you act that would tend to foster such things in others. We are not only to keep our own thought life pure, but we are to care about other people's thought life and about how the way we dress or the way we act affects them. I've heard very disturbing things coming out of people and places that are supposedly reformed that, oh, it's so legalistic to talk about being careful with your dress or being careful with your actions because that sin is in their hearts and I'm not responsible for it. Well, lewdness is a sin. Yeah, the sin is in their hearts and the sin is in your heart, and you are to be careful not only of your own heart, but to help your brother or sister as much as you can with their heart as well. That's what love does. And here lewdness is listed with adultery and fornication and uncleanness. The next set of sins are all sins, especially that harm the church. You can see the two bookends there. Idolatry on the front end. False worship. Wanting to worship according to what we think and want in worship. Being creative with worship instead of being instructed by God for worship. And then heresies. Having our own doctrines rather than drawing our doctrine only from the scripture. The word sorcery there is not from the word magus or magos or where you would get the magi or the kind of, you know, Harry Potter type sorcery. The word that's used for sorcery here actually has more to do with the guy behind the desk at Walgreens. It's pharmakeia. Now, it's not saying that it's wrong to take prescription drugs and, you know, don't let the homeopaths lay hold of that word, or they'll make a great big exegetical mistake. But it does mean concocting things as a way of having greater spiritual life. And those who keep up coming up with all of these ideas about how we will grow spiritually that are not the ordinary means of grace, that are not the Spirit applying Christ to us, and how does the Spirit apply Christ to us? By those things that Christ has given us to do, that He, in which He will bless us by His Spirit, and His Spirit will apply Him to us. And so it's an interesting translation. When someone is has their brand new spiritual plan, or they're excited about this revolutionary new spiritual book that throws off centuries of good theology that has come carefully from the Bible, you kind of do want to say sorceress or sorcerer, but this is what it means. Introducing or following ideas about how to have spiritual vitality, extra spiritual power, extra spiritual life beyond that which the Lord Jesus gives by faith in the ordinary use of the means of grace. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, anything that, whether internal or external, is inclined against others in the church. Selfish ambition, desiring that others would think highly of you. You really cannot do things for both the purpose of wanting people to think highly of the Lord and wanting them to think highly of you at the same time. We have to ruthlessly put to death the desire that others would think highly of us so that we can devote ourselves to the desire that others would think highly of Christ. Dissensions here means party spirit or factions. This is a great temptation, not just among children, but also among adults. But it is a temptation, great temptation among children. Wanting people to be closer to you than they are to someone else, and speaking or acting in such a way that that creates these kind of parties, these fractures or divisions between people or groups in the church. That too is a work of flesh. And of course, you know what heresy is. And then verse 21 is kind of transitions into directly harming physically and spiritually ourselves or others. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, inviting others into drunkenness. So there's this great big list Most of us will have some things on the list that would never cross our mind. All of us will have some things in the list that our hearts slide into from time to time, and we need a list like this to help us go down the catalog and be aware of which ones we are most vulnerable to, which ones we are engaged in battle with. You'd be determined to do battle against murder. You never have the opportunity or ability or feel like you're going to genuinely kill someone. But don't focus on the ones that you would never do. Focus on the ones, especially the heart ones, but also the behavior ones, especially when it comes to the church. Christ loves his church. And it's very easy to slip into some of these behaviors in verse 20 that harm the church. And you know what he said to Paul, right? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He takes it very personally when we harm his church. And then notice there in verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay, so this isn't an exhaustive list. There's more. There are other lists that you can find in Scripture. I put references to a couple of them in the Hopeful at Home. 2 Timothy 3 is one that comes immediately to mind. Romans 1 has an extended list. Included in both of these lists, by the way, disobedience to parents. Learn to put sin to death with the sin that is most common to your daily routine so that you will have practice in battle. It's like practicing on those rubber knives. Okay, except for disobedience isn't a rubber knife. It actually is very deadly to you. But learn to do battle against sin now and those particular ones that pertain to your life now so that you will be skilled and practiced in battling against sin for the rest of your life. Now, the most frightening thing, the end of verse 21, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Okay? If you are not doing battle against your sin with the Holy Spirit, you may compress your lips and push air out of your lungs and pass it over your vocal cord and your tongue, and you can say Abba Father all day long. But if the Spirit who genuinely makes the Christian heart to say Abba Father is not also making you to do battle against these things, I don't mean that you never do these things, but it's which side of the battle are you on? Then it's not the Spirit who is making you say, Abba Father, if you're not doing battle against these things. You can be in a great church, you can have great doctrine, you can have family worship three times a day, you can know the Bible really well, your dad can do all the Bible teaching and discipline and everything that the Bible says and pray for you with blood, sweat, and tears. And if you have never battled against sin like this, then the Scripture says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't belong to Him. You don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. These are real warnings. Yes, Victoria.
How do you know that you're a Christian?
Lots of good ways. One that we're seeing even here is that the Holy Spirit helps you face your sin and fight against it. You stumble and lose a lot. The Apostle Paul did. He tells us about it in Romans 7. But you're in the fight. And a big one is when you remember that Jesus died for you, you have great relief. Because you're sure of Christ. You know that you're a Christian not by being sure of yourself, but by being sure of Jesus. So when you are losing the battle, you run to Christ and you say, no one can ever die. No one can ever go to hell who belongs to you, Jesus. And then you realize that the fact that you're fighting the battle out of love for Him means that you're a Christian, even if the battle feels like it's going very badly. Okay? There's a book in the New Testament called 1 John that is all about. He says at the end of the book, I have written these things so that you may know that you believe. You know how it starts out? It starts out by saying, if you say that you have no sin, you call God a liar. But if you confess your sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive you. And in that book, it talks about being sure about Jesus, that He is God who became a man and lived a righteous life and died a death in which He received our punishment. So you're sure about Jesus and you love Him and want to keep His commandments. You don't think His commandments are a burden. You think your sin is the burden. You love His commandments. You wish you could do them. And every time you sin and stumble, the sin is the burden. You don't think, oh, this stupid commandment that I have to do it. You think, oh, this stupid sin that I can't do His commandments. So you're sure about Jesus. You love Him. You want to keep His commandments. And the other big one in that book is you love Christians. You love Christians. Because you know Jesus loves them so much that He died for them. And if your Redeemer loves them that much, you're going to love them that much. And they're joined to your Redeemer. So they especially, from all the world, are the ones who belong to Christ and are joined to Christ. So those are really the three tests that the book of 1 John gives us. And one of them is here. This is really out of love for Christ, that you hate the sin and that you're battling against it. Very good question, honey. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we would be those who inherit your kingdom. We thank you for your word being so plain and bold and forthright with us, so that you don't whitewash or try to make us feel good about being in a bad situation, but you really do direct us to Christ and command us into the battle and assure us of your Spirit's help. And we pray, O Lord, that you would grant us victory. Help us to follow what we have read here. And do, we pray, grant your Spirit to every single one around this table, that we would be spiritually alive and trust in Jesus and love Him and obey Him and engage in this battle that the Holy Spirit shall surely win. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.